episode is brought to you by the Old Dominion Athletic Foundation. Because of you, we create winners in the classroom, in athletic competition, and in life. Become a member today.
Hello, Monarch fans, and welcome to the Hudson Homers podcast. Got CB here as always. Coach Finney joining us as well after what I think I'm just going to dub as Hell Week, I think, with four top 10 opponents in one. But we went 1-3. We did get a big win on Saturday, about got one on Sunday. I feel a lot better coming out of that Sunday game now than I did, let's say, after the UVA game. But CB, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm with you. That was it felt a lot like, you know, again, you know what, I hate to say there's no moral victories, but it did feel like, okay, this is what we've been saying when we talk about this team every week and we believe in them. We say, hey, if you guys play like you can, here's what you could do. So it was nice to see on Sunday that happens, and or Saturday. Yeah, we're all getting our days all mixed up on Saturday.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, we were a day short this week, day up anyway, because of Easter. And I hope you guys all had a good Easter and everyone. And it was a nice day until it rained, and then it cooled off and got cold again for a minute. We got a chilly night tomorrow, I think, up in Williamsburg ahead of us. Mm-hmm. And then warming up again. I always look at the weather whenever we've got to go to Huntington, West Virginia, because I've been there in April when it's snowing. And that is a fact. That's not a –
I believe it.
But it looks like the weather's going to be pretty good there. So
nice.
It's good to see and a really nice, they built a really nice ballpark. So this will be our second time going, you know, to play in that. And they've had good crowds when the weather's been nice. So that makes for a nice atmosphere for sure.
Is their new stadium is off of campus, right? It's a couple miles away.
It's on campus.
It's on campus. Right. Okay.
Football stadium. Yeah. They've got softball right next to it, right next to football. Their indoor area right there. It's all right kind of there together. Yeah, awesome. They did a nice job with it. The location of it's good as well, I think. So
After years of the other way, it's great that they've got that. That's what you want to see.
Yeah, you talk about planes, trains, and automobiles, man. We played them in
YMCA one time.
Stories now. Going back to my playing days, playing Marshall, you know. We played in some place called St. Cloud Commons, which was up on top of this hill. It was a terrible field. they played in the old Huntington Cubs, which was the Appalachian League, Chicago Cubs, rookie league field. They played in that for a while. And that sat at the bottom of a floodplain. When it rained real hard, they'd open the floodgates to the river and it would flood the field. And go out there after they closed them, after a drain, and there'd be fish. People would be picking fish up off the field.
Make that up. I swear it's true. We got dinner tonight, boys.
Yeah.
Yeah. That I played against them at across the state line, actually, in Kentucky at Boyd County High School. and everywhere in between, Beckley, West Virginia, Charleston, West Virginia.
Yeah,
you know, now at the YMCA field that was there in Huntington, and then
that was where we set the team record for home runs that game.
Yeah, yeah, we had like 17 home runs in that series. and now in they've got a real nice ballpark. So long time coming and well deserved. So happy for those guys for sure. So recapping the week, you know. Coming back off the road from South Alabama and traveling up to Charlottesville, we knew that was going to be a tough task with midweek, you know, arms going up there. And they got a really good club. You know, I think they've got at least two and maybe three big leaguers, you know, on that team, shortstop, center field, and maybe first base. And those guys had about 10 or 12 RBIs out of those 16 between the three of them, I think. We couldn't do much to stop any of them. And,
you know, 10 hits, 10 RBIs. I'm looking at it.
Yeah. They're a lot better than us right now, and especially with those guys. So, you know, you get some of those hybrid teams from coaching changes, the good guys that didn't leave and the guys they brought with them from Duke. And they got a good club, and even that, you know, it's college baseball though. They've lost their last two series in ACC to Boston College and then at home to Florida State. So, it's all relative. So we had to get home and regroup, and, you know, Thursday against Southern Miss, we just got, you know, the theme, right? We got behind early, but I did think I saw some better things from Darren Kusky. He didn't, pack it in. He kind of hung in there and was able to give us five innings, which was we needed, and not blow a bunch of people up and get killed. And we had some good at bats in that game too. I really think so. And I told the guys after the game, you know, hanging your head ain't going to do nothing. Like, we got to get out of here tomorrow ready to go. And, you know, if you play better, you can have a chance to beat them. And guys came out the next day, and we played a good ball game. You know, we had a bunch of big at bats, you know, got the lead, expanded it. And then, you know, we just, we had one out and, you know, 10-3, one out, nobody on. And we walked a daggum, you know, nine hole hitters, a pinch hitter they're just putting some guys in the game, sitting 0-65.
Yeah.
And we walk him, and then that's where it snowballs from there, and they end up getting five. But we get the win. We made an error at short on a routine ball. We walked a guy. We hit two guys. We made an error. We gave him four free base runners in that inning.
I feel like Bailey took you literally when he was throwing back foot sliders, because he was literally bouncing them off of their back foot, it felt like.
Yeah, and Bailey was really good up until then, man. He comes in, strikes out their three-hole guy with two outs and set to finish the seventh, and then just goes – clean inning in the eighth, and it, for whatever reason, the ninth inning just gets him. And so we were trying to squeeze one more out of him, you know, with a bigger lead, and just didn't work out. But I think up until then he threw the ball well, and, you know, like I said, you know, Davis should have thrown three pitches and been out of that inning. We kicked a routine ball at short.
Yeah.
And you just can't do that. I mean, if you want to play shortstop at this level, that play has to be made plain and simple. That's just all I can say about it.
Yeah, so, there was, because I think Bailey made two good pitches. Like, one would have been a double play. We only get the out at second, and then the other ground ball that was hit to short.
Yeah, let me mention something about that, because I heard that from Ted, too, on the broadcast, reviewing a couple things. Every ball that's hit to middle infielder is a double play ball. We weren't playing double play depth, because when you're up by seven, you're just trying to get outs. When it's a 2-3 run, one ball game, yeah, you need double plays. If there's a runner on third, things like that. But when you're up by a bunch, we're playing the guys back on the edge of the grass. Not necessarily every ball is a double play ball. So that was in that case. I'll take responsibility for that, because we had the guys at max range. We weren't, you know, you don't need to force a double play. You need to trade out, and you'll trade out for runs at that point.
Yeah.
So I think that's something to make clear. And I heard Ted say that, and I understand the inclination of every ball, you know, ball hits the second baseman should be a double play ball. But in that case, that's not the case. That was hit to second, and we were telling the guys, make sure one, let's not force something and try to throw a ball away and get no outs, trying to be too quick. Sometimes, you know, when you're up big, you're just getting an out. And that was the case on that one. Now, should we made the, you know, the one to short, 100%, you got to make that play. But that was the case on that ball grab right there. If you get the lead out, great. But we're not gonna force that right there. You know, and then Kellen, you know, they nickel and dimed him a little bit after that. And this is something else that's interesting. Not once, but twice, I think on Saturday, we had two foul pop-ups that 100% are caught.
Yeah.
The temporary backstop up. I mean,
right. I think we mentioned that in the dugout. Yeah.
And they're right. It's right there. Not even close to where the regular wall would be. And I'm just thinking, Ballycor. I said it twice. Thanks, Ballycor.
Because it's a good, like, 8 feet back there.
It might be more like 12. It's a good distance.
And the bounces are funky off of that too. We've had some weird ones skip the plate and hit the backstop and go over. I mean, it's a noticeable difference to what we used to have. And I imagine that's going to be a little difficult on getting dirt ball reads too, if you're at second or third.
Yeah. It's weird. It's part of this year's journey, I guess. But those are two outs. One of them came with two outs, and that inning's over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that guy singles to tie it up. And then the next inning, I think one happened with one out. But could completely change. It definitely changes the one inning because we're in the dugout.
Right.
And it could have changed the next inning, but it didn't happen. Didn't work out. Anyway, but, you know, that Friday game, I thought we played good baseball. We played good defense up until that play in the ninth. Mm-hmm. Made the routine plays. We got some big hits. We're able to, you know, expand the lead and take advantage of, you know, some walks and some of their mistakes. And then although we, you know, did make it a closer game, we hung on and won. So that's a good win for us. And then, you know, Sunday we got down again, but we came back and the guys, you know, they kept fighting and we got the lead there, you know, in the seventh and just weren't able to keep it. But I thought the guys, you know, again, those two games, we played better. We got some big hits when we needed them. And I thought Tyler Zadalis did a good job at third.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had to play absolutely the next two games with his foot all bruised up because he got hit squarely on the foot on Thursday. You know, had the big base loaded double for us in game three and made the routine plays at third. And that's something we haven't been doing all year. And
he almost made an amazing play there in like the shortstop hole.
And, you know, it seemed like wherever we played them, they were hitting it somewhere else too.
Yeah, that was that, which is just a sign of good hitters because you know, we talk all the time about what you want to see in a hitter is I want you to want to get on base no matter what. And you saw that a lot with those guys where it was like, especially with two strikes, like I'm going to put this ball in play and make something happen. It's not that thing of like you beat the shift that way. The shift works when a hitter says I'm going to do it my way no matter what. The shift doesn't work when a hitter says, I'm going to get on base no matter
100%.
What.
100%. And they stayed in the middle of the field probably more than any team we've played this year. Mm-hmm. And, maybe we, you know, hindsight's 20/20. Maybe we play them a little more straight up. Things are different. But when we were playing them straight up, they were hitting where we weren't.
It was perfectly right up the middle.
You know, and you got to give them credit for that. I'll tell you something else you got to give them credit for. Their shortstop played great this week.
Unbelievable.
He's a Mobile Alabama guy. And, he hasn't played much his first 2 years there. Mm-hmm. He's been a backup, a defensive sub at third and some things like that. And he's been their everyday shortstop this year as a junior. And, man, did he make some great plays on the run and everywhere. And accurate throws. He was really – really impressive.
Eight hits offensively for him too this weekend. Yeah. He was
time. So he and a bunch of those were with two strikes, like you were saying, CB. Mm-hmm. He had a bunch of big two strike hits for them, you know. So I thought we swung the bats better the last 2 days and you know, had more competitive at bats. Thought Ephraim Morales had a pretty good weekend for us. It was nice to get him back in the lineup, you know. In there and
different energy when he's playing and it just kind of makes things go.
He's a good competitor and you know it's nice to see him back healthy and playing again certainly. So
the two out hitting for you all on Friday and Saturday was huge. I mean you score six runs in the sixth, end up getting the win, all those came with two out, and then when you made the push in the seventh inning in the final game of the series, I mean, you put six runs across the board, you take the lead in the bottom of the seventh. I think we've been kind of waiting for that, and you just saw those at-bats just start to stack, and the pressure was on Southern Miss at that point. And, I mean, they have a great pitching staff, and we beat them up two out of those three games.
Yeah.
Well, their coach said he'd never seen Colby Allen do that. The leader they brought in on Friday – it was first team all conference last year, I think, as a reliever. But he's been pretty special for them, and you know, he walked some guys, and then we took advantage and, you know, late hit some big home run to wrap up scoring in that inning. So, that was good to see. So, you know, you look back, I thought Jackson Okonkwo really battled for us. Man, that was probably the longest he's gone this year in terms of pitch count. You know, we had to get him in there. I don't know. It's just been one of those things. You know, Cole Lanford, last couple outings in relief, he's been pretty good. And then he couldn't get an out on Sunday, you know, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So we've seen some guys blow up fast. And we wanted to try to get one time through the lineup with Nick Sulpizio. He did a pretty good job there. And Lanny, you know, last weekend throws four shutout innings for us out of the pen.
Yeah.
And you know, this weekend you can't get an out of him. So that's tough, you know, when they do that. And by the time we got Jack, then we bring Park in, and he gave up a couple, and then you know, you're down, you know, 4-5-0 before you get going. But JL battle for us. He's gonna show on some good signs. I thought he, you know, out of the freshman, I thought he threw the ball real well. I thought Maddox Jack threw the ball real well on Thursday.
He's been doing great.
He's been getting better, and Ben Tanton threw the ball well on Friday, you know, in relief. And J.J. Gaddy, that was his second quality start, you know, in a row. He gave us four good ones against South, and then he gave us five good ones and battled through it. Wanted that fifth inning, and we let him go back out there, and he did a good job. So that's progress on that, and we just got to find a way to get, you know, Cusky back going, because, you know, he's just getting hit. I've never seen a guy get hit like with good stuff that gets hit like that.
Yeah, that first inning Thursday was kind of nuts, because you look up, it's like six hits and a bunch of runs. And you're like, man, and like I said, the stuff looks good and it's just getting smoked. And it was really nice to see him fight back and work through and get you a long start because that's obviously not a thing that's been happening. So it was nice to see, and you hope that he builds on that part of the game, not the first inning.
Yeah, totally. I hope so. You know, he's got to find a way to get through those first two innings. One of those first two are getting them every time, you know. Maybe if he can get through that, he can get some work. But so, yeah, I liked our lineup better, obviously, with F in it. Scotty Young, I thought, had a pretty productive weekend. And although Nick didn't really do much offensively, he robbed a couple extra base hits in center field. And, you know, that's just like an RBI in my book. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you're a premium defender, you know, he's running out there like Spider-Man up on that wall.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
He's just a work in progress as a hitter. He's going to be fine, I think. He just is young and got to get stronger and got to work on his approach, hit the ball in the middle of the field more. And he does work on it. And, you know, I told him, man, that, you know, you got to get your bunts down and you got to play good defense, and you're going to play, you know, a bunch the rest of the year because we need that in center. You know, getting Zdalis in the third allows us to get F in that DH spot, which you know, helps us. Now, Scotty, I thought Scotty Young played good. You know, he got hit in the head on Saturday and has, you know, had some concussion symptoms, so we had to take him out. It probably won't play tomorrow because of that. We hope to get him back for the, you know, for the weekend, and I think we will, hopefully.
Well, it's like my mom said, it hit him in the head. It didn't hit anything. It was going to hurt anything.
Yeah, I know.
I talked to him after the game, just asked him how he's doing. He said he was good for a while until the noise, and then he felt like he got flash-banged a little bit. Yep. So, because he stayed in and ended up scoring later in the inning after he got hit. But I don't think the symptoms showed up till later.
Yeah, that's often the case with those getting hit. And I think it glanced him just enough. You know, he turned enough. So,
usually
when it knocks your helmet off like that, it glances you enough that it's not a – direct hit, because those are the worst ones. None of them are good. I know, but
no, always scary.
Yeah. So tomorrow,
The kid for Southern Miss, the catcher that got popped in the chin. I mean, he was still he had that big bandage on, even on Saturday.
He didn't get any hits, and then we got hit in the chin, and Doc Nick gets him up and hits a home run his next at bat.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Like, you know? it's going. But he, so tomorrow, I think, we'll probably, you know, we're trying to give Max catching all three games on the weekend, so we're trying to give him a blow on the week. I think we'll catch Jack Slater tomorrow. His hamstring seems to be better. And Jack is just got back in time to hit today. He had to go take his physical fitness test in Richmond for the Secret Service.
That's great.
I think it's max push-ups in a minute, max sit-ups in a minute, and then you got to run a mile and a half for time. So he did. He drove to Richmond last night, did that this morning, drove back. And he's probably pretty gassed by the time he got back, I'm sure.
Probably so after that.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Well, you're talking about Mac. I mean, there was the most important thing that happened all weekend is you get two quick outs to start the inning. You call time and go talk to Matt, and then he hits a tank in the left field. Everybody wants to know, what did you tell him? What did you tell him?
I blew a little magic pixie dust on him. We were laughing about it because after he hit the home run, their third baseman's a great kid, Drew Barrett. He's an Alabama kid, grew up not too far from Auburn. So we always talk about that when we play them. But he said, "What'd you tell him, coach? You tell him to hit a home run?" I said, "Yes, I did." He said, "That's good coaching."
That is good coaching.
Well, great. You know, Mav made one pitch out after that. We had a long inning. I think Mav made his second out maybe, and it was about a three-pitch inning at that point. And I called time because our pitcher probably needed a blow. I said, "Look, man, I know they think we're standing here talking about taking strikes, but it might be the best one you get. But if you get one, don't miss it. Be on it. Hook one pitch, one, get it out. Yeah. And if you miss it, hit it off the key dog right there. Don't be late on it." And damn, he did miss it, man. He hit it over the bleachers, didn't he? Yeah, or into the bleachers.
Yeah, it looked like it went just over the top railing, too. I mean, that's the home runs we've seen from Mac. They're just laser beams getting out of there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, hey, you told him if you see the pitch you like, don't miss it. And he did not.
He was laughing when he came around third. I said, "Good job, man. You didn't." That's fun when guys trust themselves enough to take shots like that. That's cool. And Mac got the barrel. He's getting the barrel out front better now. I think he's coming along. I expect him to drive some balls this second half of the season, more so. I really believe he will.
He's pumped that average up over the last couple of weeks. I mean, I was surprised when it popped up on the scoreboard this weekend. He was hitting well over 300 and like, okay, Mac's coming together because he's got the power for sure.
You know, sometimes you forget, you know, he was at Liberty, has a great season, just like you expect. You know, he's a good ball player. Then, you know, okay, I'm going to UNC big time and ACC and doesn't get to play a lot, doesn't have a lot of success in the time. I'm sure for a guy who's never failed in his life, that's got to rock your ego a little bit. It takes a little bit, I think, to come back from it. So it's good to see him being himself.
Yeah, it is. He's a great kid. He's a great teammate. He's a great competitor. You know, he's really starting to get that swing down. So I'm really happy to see that. I think there's a lot of power potential in there. You know, he just was a little bit long and around the ball, and he's starting to get that barrel out to the front. You know, BP, now we just call it kill the third baseman. I want you to just send the third baseman's up there and just kill him. And he
is the guy when I'm taking pictures in the ODU dugout, I am always very nervous.
Yeah.
Because he will hit those line drives. Really, he would put a hole through my chest like a superhero.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that gives us the chance to, with those guys, we got to get Mav going again. Mm-hmm. I didn't think he had a great weekend. I mean, he hit the one home run, but we got to get him back on track. And I think he will. He's been a guy that, you know, in April and May has really hit for us in the past 2 years. So fully expect him to keep doing that. And if all those guys, you know, swing the bats like they're capable of, it allows you to absorb a defensive player like Nick Felton, who's maybe not going to, you know, get a bunch of hits right now. He's got to have competitive at bats and move runners and play great defense. So I like the thought of that anyway.
Yeah. When's the last time Cole McKenna played left field? I know he ended up getting subbed in late in the third game because of the injuries and pinch hitting going on. But I heard Nick giving him good coaching when he was warming him up out there.
We've been working him out there in center and mostly in center, but I wanted him to play left because the sun was at that point was tough in center. And if you haven't been out there, that can get you. Mm-hmm. And he got the one ball and caught it fine. And so that was good. Yeah. He's a good runner. It just gives you another defensive, option when games kind of get weird like that. And you play the ball. I probably should have had him in there instead of Siegel the inning before, but I thought with the righty in, maybe we'd get Siegel in at bat and he ended up striking out.
And Scotty got whacked in the back of the head. That was, you can't foresee that.
Yeah. That was unfortunate because it would have been nice to have him hit in those spots too. So, but is what it is. And, it's after this weekend, you're halfway through the conference schedule. So you're going to have to find a way to win some series to get in that tournament for sure. And we know that. But if we can play like that the last 2 days, then you're going to find yourself in those positions. That's not a given, but you're capable of it. And that's what we talked about. I want the guys to keep their heads up. You just got to find ways to play good baseball. And we did that those 2 days. So, we went 1-1. But we play good baseball, and I can live with that.
Yeah, I think I said that, at the end. I was like, this is one of the first games we've lost all year where you go like, hey, we just lost. A lot of the games we've lost, it's like, man, we gave this away and just got our heads beat in. Yeah. And this is one it's like, hey, you know what? They beat us today just a little bit better in this one.
Yeah.
You can handle a lot easier, I think, when you lose, when you played really, really well, and it just didn't work out.
Yep, no doubt. I agree with you, CB. That's 100% the way I feel. So, and people just don't get that haven't really coached or played much. It's like, it hurts to lose, but it hurts worse when you play crappy. It's really about how you play because that's what lasts, over the course of a season. And we've had plenty of ups and downs on that. And sometimes you're just not good enough. I think Tuesday, that was the case. I mean, they just a lot better than us right now. So you just got to move on from that one. People don't like to hear that, but it's the reality. I mean, about a team that's got, who knows how much money on that field.
Insane amount.
It is what it is. So, that doesn't mean you can't beat them on the right day if you're cooking on all cylinders, and we weren't. But we came back and played and now having said that, you guys watched all four of those games. That's where the rankings are skewed, right? Like Virginia's a way better team than Southern Miss is.
It was fascinating to me. They put them out this morning, and they still pretty much all of them still had UVA a few steps behind and Coastal a few steps behind Southern Miss. I was like, all right, that's an interesting take, I guess.
Anything away from Southern?
No, they're a very good team. Yeah, absolutely.
I just think from on the field talent wise, I would say that. I mean, you talk about a team with maybe three big leaguers as opposed to that. But that's and that's just how I feel. So we haven't played Coastal yet, so I don't know. But I thought Virginia was by far the best team we played talent wise this year for sure. So. And around the league, you're seeing everybody, South Al, finally broke Coastal's 34-game winning streak. Something ridiculous like that. A million games in a row they won in the Sun Belt Conference. And they whacked them pretty good on that game. After Coastal, I think, might have 10-run them the first game. And then I think Coastal walked them off in game three, so it was another good game. But South's pretty good, and then – I saw JMU beat Louisiana, won that series.
That was some interesting stuff going on with that. Yeah,
wild game. He had some fighting, some ejections. He had all kinds of stuff happening there.
Yeah, it was like WWF, right? Like,
yeah. Wahoo. Yeah, your boy Ike getting in it.
Foley and Gene Anderson coming off the top rope, man. Yeah. I was like, woo. So, and then ULM's coach got thrown out and went berserk against Georgia State. I didn't see what the other game. Well, Appalachian beat Marshall at home 2 out of 3, I think. So there were some interesting games for sure.
It's wild when you look at the standings. You got Coastal 11-1, safe in one. 3 games in the standings separate second from last.
Yeah, yeah.
So you could literally have, if you go and sweep somebody in a weekend, you could go from 14-2.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, there's no doubt. It's so it's, you know, and that's the thing you want the guys to understand. Like, you know, you're 4-8, but a couple 2 out of 3s, and you're right back in the deal. Yeah. So
quickly.
You know, Marshall's got good pitching, especially on Friday. That lefty's been there for 40 years.
Yeah. Seventh year senior.
Yeah. But he's good, and you're going to have to play good. But we have beaten him before. Last time we went there, he threw on Saturday, and we won that game, like, I don't know, 4-2 or 4-1, close game, but we won it. And, you know, so, you know, playing anybody at home is always a good challenge. So, got to go up there, you know, play well. But we got we'll get a bunch of guys in the game tomorrow night at William & Mary and try to get lubed up for the weekend and hopefully keep everybody healthy, you know. And I think we leave early Thursday morning to drive over to Huntington and, you know, hopefully get a good workout in over there Thursday evening and get ready to roll.
There you go.
Yep. Any ideas on pitching for William & Mary? Are you going just kind of an inning a pop? You Hubble? What you thinking there?
We're going to start Lanford. Okay. Getting back on the horse. And, you know, we need him to just go as long as he's effective. I think 3 innings probably be the max. But like to see him and Hubble try to cover some of that game for us and get us into it, certainly. And, you know, then some of the relievers that need to get out there, you know, maybe an inning apiece, and so they can have more flexibility for the weekend. So normal midday stuff or midweek stuff for sure.
Yeah.
Cole really feels like a guy you can build with to the future. You know, obviously working back from some stuff last year with the brain injury and things like that, but he's got kind of some fire. We know he's got some fire. We know he's got some stuff. So those guys, you're really – him and Cavalcante is a kid, too. Every time he comes to the game, I'm like, God bless this kid. You can get all this to be together, man. Those some arms.
Yeah, I mean, and they're all freshmen. So you'd like to – you know, Cole and MJ are redshirt freshmen, but they're all freshmen. So you like the thought of that. It's just the consistency, like, you know, talking to Cole. Like, you can't be really good, crappy. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't know when to – like, we got to know what we're getting out there. And that's part of being young, without a doubt. But he is a good competitor. He's a great kid. And when he's got it going, you know, then that's good. Now, the two times he's really thrown well were at Troy and at South Alabama. Mm-hmm. And we were down by, you know, 5 or 6 runs in both of those. So don't be that guy that can only throw good when the cow.
Yeah.
Like, we need you to be good when it matters, too. And that's part of growing up and just being tough. And, I think those are just part of the learning curve. So hopefully, you know, he'll give us a good start tomorrow, but we need to see that, you know, 89, 90 with a cutter and it can't be 84, 85 like it was the other day. Yeah. I don't know.
His entrance song has been stuck in my head since I've heard it. I had just gotten it out from the last home stand, that Queen of My Double Wide Trailer song. It's stuck in here. It will not come out. Like, I've listened to it. I've tried. So thanks for that, Cole. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Well, if you know him, it's very apropos. So
yeah.
And then
Max Jack too. Yeah. I mean, he's really been looking good.
Yeah. I was some electric stuff coming out of there.
Yeah.
And that's in him. You know, Max is one of those kids, super nice kid. He's just got to get meaner when he's pitching.
Yeah, that's fair. He is always smiling. It's true.
And I think I think Rhino said after he threw Thursday. Where's that guy been? And he said something like, that's the old Maddox. And he goes, well, bring him every time.
Yeah, right.
New guy, bring the old guy. So, I mean, these kids, you know, I think that part of it, I can't remember, maybe 18, we had a bad year that year. But we threw a bunch of young guys a lot
of young guys.
Because we had two injuries and whatever. But those guys ended up being the backbone or very important parts. You know, Ryan Moore, Hunter Gregory, Jason Hartline. Those guys were really important parts of that 21 team.
Yeah.
And they had to go out there and get their brains beat in for a year to figure out how not to, right?
I think that 18 team had like 7 or 8 guys that needed arm surgeries. I mean, that was a rough year.
And we've had some weird arm injuries like that this year.
Yeah.
So a little bit of a similar scenario. So, those kids are doing fine. They just got to keep working, and their attitude's been good. And, you know, it'll be fun to watch them continue to progress for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, well, we're definitely looking forward to it. Game up at William & Mary on Tuesday, then normal Friday, Saturday, Sunday series. They can stop messing us up when we're trying to talk about these games. Yeah. Up at Marshall, ESPN Plus will have all the broadcasts. We'll be tuning in. Looking forward to just I felt good leaving there after Saturday, even though it was a loss, and I haven't had that this year, at least after a loss anyway.
No, me neither, Gary. Yeah. On a good note, you know, we can't not a lot to talk about it on here. We got a big commitment from a really good left-handed hitting shortstop, junior college kid.
Hey.
About that. And, you know, we got some more coming in. So, you know, we're working hard on that.
All right.
And the Ballycorp can get moving. They can help us by getting that stadium done.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, and you know, after the game on Saturday, it was kids run the bases and autographs. I think that's always a good way for the guys to kind of get centered and kind of get back in touch with some reality after a tough series. So it was great. And pretty much every single guy stayed out there, signed, made the kids' day. I saw them waving guys around third base, telling them to go home. So, you know, still, despite everything that's going on with the stadium, I mean, it's still an awesome fan experience. Yeah. I also really like on the game on Friday, when it started getting really tight there in the ninth inning, the crowd came to life and kind of got the energy back up on the field. So,
Yes,
they were getting loud out there because that was the first time outside of a home run I had heard them get loud all game. Okay. So, you know, give them credit.
We appreciate it. I can't hear it at all, but we appreciate it.
Yeah.
And there are times, man, there is no question that having a good home crowd helps you.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not – no one – I mean, it's not anybody's fault that they're out there. They're trying. They're, and it's great. When they're right on top of the players is when it really can help you and hurt the other team.
When the other team can hear everything the random frat bros are saying to them, it really helps a lot, right? Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But, you know, and Marshall's a good example of that, man. They built their stadium the right way, like this, and ours is that way. I think the seats are very close to the field, when you know, like, and you know, the dugout and everything. Some places build them so far away, like South Allen Troy. Mm-hmm. The stands are so far away, it doesn't really bother you. Mm-hmm. Our place, when it's full, they're going to be on top of you, between the new area at ground level that goes all the way around. The chair backs are right on top of the dugout. You got Rally Alley down there. It's going to get, you know, it can get, I think it's going to get suffocating in there and loud and closed and all of that. You know, it's also always been open. So no matter how many people you fell in there, noises everywhere. When it's enclosed, that matters. So we're excited about that as well, for sure, in the future.
Yeah. Surround them with sound and then just
build that pressure. Marshall could have 1,000 people in there, and it feels like it's a lot, and it's loud.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what you want, you know?
Yeah.
So where some of these other places could have, you know, 1,000 people in there, it doesn't matter. It's a
record. It looked like South Alabama could get 1,000 over the whole season.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I just saw what I saw on TV. I don't know. Maybe I had a perspective.
No, they weren't big crowds any of those 3 days for sure.
Shame.
At all. Yeah, I know, because they got a good ball club. Maybe they'll start coming out here you know, because they're winning some. So the you like to see that.
Go watch college baseball, man. It's awesome, guys. Yeah,
it is awesome. It's awesome. All right, I know you got F coming on, and we're real happy he's back in there. And he's a great kid, great competitor, and we hope he can stay healthy the rest of the season so we can keep him in the lineup.
Yes.
Absolutely. All right, well, Finney, thanks so much for your time. Appreciate it. Good luck this week, and we'll be cheering you on.
All right, thanks, guys. Buddy. Go Monarchs. Thank you.
Go Monarchs.
Go Monarchs.
The Old Dominion Athletic Foundation, or commonly referred to as the ODAF, was established in 1964 as a nonprofit organization. The mission of the ODAF is to raise financial support for ODU athletics to ensure that our coaches and student athletes have the resources necessary to compete for championships. The ODAF is integral to the success of ODU athletics and is the channel through which our fans and alumni can partner with our coaches and student athletes for the advancement of the athletics program. Through the generous efforts of our donors, loyal fan base, and community, the ODU alumni from around the globe, the ODAF raises money for student athletic scholarship support and endowments, capital projects, program-specific support, and athletic department operations. Funds are raised through annual giving, multi-year pledges, events, premium seating, and planned giving. With questions about how to get involved in one or more of these initiatives, reach out to an ODAF representative. Gifts to the ODAF are investments in the lives of our student athletes. ODAF members receive exclusive benefits such as priority points for postseason and away game seating, parking, VIP, and hospitality experiences, and more. Because of you, we create winners in the classroom, in athletic competition, and in life. Contact the ODAF and become a member today.
Thanks, Blaine.
I heard Blaine on the radio when I was driving home. He was talking about, he said he was meeting with Dan Hudson today. He's out west meeting people. Yeah, and I was like, yeah, Huddy. So maybe we'll get some donation bucks for baseball from Huddy.
Yeah,
one of the best guys on the planet.
Yeah, fellow classmate of mine from back in the day, 2009. Another thing I want to plug too, related to the ODAF piece, Aaron and Mike on the Monarchist channel put out an interview today with Dr. Ron Moses talking about a lot of things that are going to be changing for the athletic department, including Monarch Plus, which is coming out soon. But it's us weaponizing RevShare NIL to try to flood as much money and support everything you can into these athletic teams, including baseball, football, basketball, you name it. We're trying to just up the game a little bit. So it's a good one to go listen to. Dr. Moses does much better than I do talking about it. And he knows all the ins and outs, but I think you're going to see some changes in a very good way for this athletic department over the next year.
Now, when you say Monarchs Plus, I think of like Disney Plus. Do we have a baby Yoda? Maybe we need like a baby Blue. We need like a little puppet, like baby Blue that we can get around. And he can be adorable and just coo at every, do that. And then that's money. That's all I'm saying. We can do it. We can make our, the Monarch Lorian and baby Blue.
I feel like Aaron Zelensky is a good candidate for all blue body paint. He can be Blue Monarch Yoda there.
Yes.
Be
good. There we go. I'm into it.
So that's my plug. Go check out that episode if you listen to this one, because baseball is definitely going to be impacted in a very positive way by it.
Yes. Yeah. Ron Moses is on point. The dude is about it.
He's
about that life.
He is awesome. And obviously we are very much involved there as well, the best we can. But speaking of people coming in and making a positive impact, we're going to bring on our player guest this week, Ephraim Morales, who has returned to the Monarchs lineup this weekend.
There
Ephraim,
he is.
Welcome to the show.
How you guys doing? How you guys doing?
Good, buddy. Very good. Yeah. Good. Glad you're here, man. How you feeling? I know you're a little nicked up. I think it was a hand injury to kind of start the year.
My TFCC was a, there was a lot of built up fluid in there. So I got swollen. So I was hurting to like snap the wrist there, hitting a little bit. So
not good for hitting.
Not good for hitting at all. No.
Yeah.
But no, it feels good now. I feel great. I feel 100%.
Well, you can tell good this weekend. Yeah.
Yes, sir. I felt good. I mean, I felt great this weekend. Yes, sir.
That's all. I mentioned that to Finney. I was like, just a whole different energy when you're in the ball game. It's like, number one, just what you do at the plate, all you're hitting, but then just how you are. Just there's a lot of like upbeat energy that just, it feels a lot more excitable when you're in the game.
No doubt. And thank you. I mean, that's just who I am as a player. Yeah. I just love to bring out the energy. No doubt about that.
Yeah, well, one of my favorite pictures from the weekend was this one right here, like three runs coming in on Tyler Zdalis' double in the gap, and you and TJ just getting fired up there at the plate as we take the lead.
Let me tell you, I think me and TJ both blacked out right there. I'm gonna be honest.
I believe it.
I mean, we both were just super hyped up there.
I'll have to see if I can make a GIF out of that, because that's the whole series was pretty good.
Yeah,
no doubt it was. Yeah.
Yeah, well, tell us a little bit about this weekend. I mean, you know, things don't start off well with that first game, but looks like a different team comes in. You get the big two-out rally, and then just really kind of came down to the end there in the final game. But how are you feeling throughout this weekend?
I mean, I feel great. I feel like we did a great job. I think we should be proud of ourselves. I mean, unfortunately, yeah, we wanted to win that series, of course. But I feel like we can look forward into, like, I think we took a step for sure, and I think we're going to be good going into the conference games coming up for sure.
It felt like a different energy. You know, after the game on Friday, you get the win. Obviously, everyone is hyped up. But when I got there a little bit early for the game on Saturday, and, like, there was still just, like, a lot of confidence, a lot of positivity, guys with their heads up. I mean, were you kind of feeling that between games?
I mean, no doubt. I feel like we're – like, even if we're down, I mean, I feel like – there's, like, with our attitude as a team, I feel like we can always come back. I mean, and for that to happen, we have to keep our heads up and have the energy up. So
you've been playing different positions this year. I know you were working out at second base. That hadn't really happened in the games here, but you've been playing some outfield here during the season. How's that been going for you?
It's been going well. I know that I haven't been out there a lot. I mean, I've been hurt, of course, but it's been going well. I feel like I've gotten a lot better out there. You see me play some second base in the fall.
You did all right. I was okay, this is fine.
I mean, it was for sure a challenge, but I always look forward to those. It was a lot of fun for sure during the fall, and I feel like I could be in a position where I can still keep up and I could always train it out. I mean, I love to do hard things, of course, so that'd be nice.
Now, I have to imagine, as a guy who has been a catcher so much, is that something that you miss? I mean, I'm sure. I feel like most catchers, like, really love catching.
No, yeah, of course. I mean, I miss it. Of course, like, the injuries with the two concussions, it's kind of a bummer, of course. But, yeah, I miss it. I mean, you're always in the game catching. I mean, there's no better feeling than that, of course. So,
now, is that something you think you'll ever be able to get back to, or is this kind of like, hey, you know what, just for your brain and your life, might be better off to avoid?
I mean, that's a question of, like, I haven't really asked that question a lot as of right now. But I mean, there's always something. I mean, of course, I mean, I still miss it, so it's always there for the table. I mean, I feel like that's something where I can go back to, of course.
Yeah, I mean, it was the one series over there at War Memorial last year, and I was sitting so close and saw the backswing come and whack you right in the back of the head. I was like, you got to be kidding me. And I think he did just slate, like, the next time he was up,
too. I know, same guy and everything. Yep, same hitter. That was crazy.
Yeah, but, you know, going back 2 weeks when you were kind of getting back into playing shape, getting your wrist back online, you had a couple pinch hit opportunities, and I'm pretty sure your first one, you just smoked a double into the gap, and it it felt like the team changed when you hit that double. Like, were you feeling that as you were getting those pinch hit opportunities coming back in?
I mean, no doubt. I mean, I feel like my role in this team is to bring energy, and of course, I mean, every time I get an opportunity to go up there and to hit, I feel like I got to bring some energy to this team and try and be a spark plug. I mean, that's something that I've always been my whole life. And I just like to bring energy to any team. I mean, and this team in particular, I mean, all the guys, I love everybody in this team. So
one thing, it's funny, I kind of noticed this because I was looking, you had four walks this week. And I was like, well, I never thought of you as a guy. I think of you as a guy who you kind of put the ball in play. You don't really strike out or really walk much. So I looked, last year, 7 walks, 130 at bats. So, like, kind of bears my point. Not a lot of walks. This year, you got 10 walks, 51 at bats. So, is that something you constantly worked on? Is just a byproduct of being more confident, more comfortable as a D1 hitter? What do you attribute that to, you think?
I mean, talking with Hage and talking with Coach P And it's just like, it's just me maturing as a hitter. I felt like last year, I was still this aggressive hitter, but like I was swinging at anything that was close to the plate. And this year I'm starting to learn how to pick my pitch. And just like learning, I mean, I can't cover the whole plate. It's really hard as a hitter to do that. And it's just, it's something that, I mean, you can't really work that on that during practice, but I mean, I definitely feel like I'm just maturing as a baseball player, and that's probably the reason why I've been getting more walks.
Yeah, because it doesn't seem like you're not being aggressive. It's just
No.
So it is interesting. I agree. I think it seems like just maturing and just getting better, and you can see the strike zone. You know what you can and can't take and hit well.
Exactly.
And you foul off the other stuff. Yeah, it's that kind of stuff's impressive. It's those kind of trends where you see like, okay, that's showing a growth, which is nice. Which is for you when you've had some. I mean, last year, you know, you probably got your season cut by about a third at the end, right, from getting injured. And then this year, cut your season by almost a third, getting injured in the beginning. So, I mean, being able to grow when you're not in the field is impressive.
Yep, no doubt. And as I think it's just like, even when you're not in there and you're hurt, I feel like you could always do something. I mean, as a baseball player, like, you can always, like, get on the machine and, like, and like just, like, work on time, and you don't have to swing the bat. That's something that you can do when you're hurt. And that's something that I did, of course, too. So,
I see you running around there, whether you're in the game or not, or just DHing. Like, you're running past me on the wall pretty frequently. I mean,
yeah.
Do you pop in the cage when you're in that DH role? Like, if there's going to be a long inning or something?
So what I do is, like, usually when, like, we're warming up or something like that, I feel like if I'm DHing, I feel like I have to move around, because I feel like I have to stay in the game, and the only way I can do that is by moving around. I usually grab a PVC pipe and like stretch out, try and like stay loose, and like I just feel like when I'm DHing, I can't. If I get cold, then I feel like I'm out of the game, and I just got to stay warm the whole time. That's just what I feel.
Yeah, that always made sense to me as a DH. You shouldn't just be sitting there. But the only time I ever saw that work was I saw David Ortiz in spring training toward the end of his career. He was in he was playing in the backfields in a double A game, and they were playing the Twins, who he had originally signed with. And so he was sitting actually in the Twins dugout with the coaches that he knew, because he had played with them. And so he'd like just sit there and talk to him during the inning. That was his time to go up and bat against their pitcher. He'd go up, hit a home run off of the guy, and then came back in the dugout and was sitting next to him the next half inning. But yeah, so guy, you know, once you're at David Ortiz's level, you can sit there and just talk.
Yeah, exactly.
Go up and hit. I mean, but yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, no doubt. I feel like it's also like some people can do it, some people can do it, and some people can't, you know. I feel like I'm a type of baseball player that has to be moving around. But there's some guys that are just like the chill vibe ones that just that could hit and go sit back right in the dugout. So, but I'm definitely not one of those. I can tell you that.
You're no chill with Efren, huh?
No, gotta be moving around constantly.
No, I feel like you're itching to just go like sneak into left field and tell somebody else to go sit down real quick. That's what I feel like.
No doubt. I always want to be in the game.
Yeah. Have you hit in the two hole before, like on a pretty regular basis?
I have not. No, I have not. Maybe we're like in 14U, 15U, but ever since, I mean, during high school, I was never a two hole. I was usually like, I think I've been like a one hole or like P27. I was like, I mean, our team was really good. Like, I was like in the bottom of the lineup at P27. So. Yeah.
That must have been a good lineup if you were down on the bottom of it.
Yeah. Well, we got a few more. We got a few blacksmiths on the way too, right?
Yeah, we got two on the way. Yeah, we got pretty two. It is.
Opening up the pipeline. Well, with you in the two hole, I feel like our 1-3 is really solid and knows the strike zone really well. I mean, like TJ, I feel like he knows it inside and out. I know the umpires were talking to him about us tapping the top of his helmet after one of the calls on Friday.
And
then, of course, Zach, like, I mean, I think he sees the ball exceptionally well from the left side. Are you able to get pretty good reads off of, like, TJ's at bat and start off games?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, TJ usually always works the bat very well. So I'm able to see, like, what's the pitcher sequence. And I get to see, like TJ always works the counts, I feel. And I feel like he gets every single pitch because they're always trying to work around him, of course. So I mean, I feel like I'm in a good spot because he's always having good at bats, which is the good thing.
So I know last summer you were supposed to play for Charlottesville. Obviously, you didn't want to do that. You know, recovering from the concussions. What did you do during the summer to work out and keep yourself ready?
During the summer, I mean, I have this place like back at home. It's like this like little barn that has batting cages and a weight room. And all I do is just like go in there every day. I mean, my dad is like always feeding me off the machine and then like lifting wise and all that. I went to like this place that's like just supposed to train and make you faster in that. Cause I feel like it's something I need to work on. And that's all I did. And then I came here during the summer for a whole month. Okay. So I was 1 month at home, 1 month here.
Are you faster?
I feel like I am.
All right. So that's that. I like that answer because that wasn't a like no, but I feel like
no, yeah.
Imagine not having all the wear and tear of catching on a daily basis. It's got to be making your legs feel fresh anyway.
Yeah, yeah, my legs feel a lot. They are a lot more fresher than they were last year. I will say that.
Yeah, just getting that into the power behind your swing. I feel like it's more than anything.
Yeah.
So you spent a month on campus. Was that kind of the first summer month that you've been here? I can't remember if you were here before the fall last year.
My freshman year, I was here. We stayed in the dorms all summer. I think we came here in June.
Okay.
And then we went back home in August for like 2 weeks. But I was here my freshman year during the summer coming into the school.
You can feel you got
who
a
you,
good...
Oh, go ahead. I was going to say, who are you rooming with this year?
I'm rooming with Ben Tannen and Nick Felton.
Okay.
Okay.
It seems like a pretty quiet, chill house. I feel like there's not a lot of noise in that house. Yeah.
It is a very chill house.
I feel like you guys go to other people's houses. They don't come to yours.
Yeah, we do go to other people's houses, but it's a vibe in our house, though. We're always playing music. Yeah. But it's definitely a vibe in our house. But yeah, we definitely do.
I would say a clean house, too, right? You guys
it is a very
all clean
house, yes.
Yeah, okay. I don't want to call you guys a bunch of nerds, but like, you know, just all three of you guys are pretty quiet, pretty just like polite guys. Like, I just don't see a lot of like nonsense. We've had a few other ones where it's like, oh yeah, I bet that house is messy.
Yeah, our house is clean.
It's funny.
Yeah. Well, when you're not in baseball and you're not in classes and all that stuff, like what have you found as kind of your fun things to do down in Norfolk and 757?
Definitely like hanging around with the guys and something I like to do is just like sit like you know where like Whitehurst area is, like at the beach area. Mm-hmm. I like Whitehurst, just sit there and just watch the beach. I mean, just relaxing.
The beach at like sunset is like that's a whole activity,
especially the sunsets here. I mean, they're good. Like there's some good sunsets here.
That's an underrated little romantic spot. Just throwing that out there. It's been that way for about 20 years now, at least.
No doubt. Yeah. But yeah, just going to the beach as well is always something. But not in the cold though. During the cold, I probably stay in my house.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I like to go to the beach a lot.
Nice.
That's awesome. And now in terms of classes, I mean, what are you pointing at now in your second year? Are you close to finding that major, or are you just like, well, another semester, I'll figure it out?
I don't know what I want to do. But as of right now, I'm in general studies, but I don't know what I want to do for my career yet.
So you want to play baseball. You know what you want to do.
Yeah.
I think the key is to figure out, you know, obviously I believe the baseball career can go for a while because you're a gamer, but find a way to stay around baseball. So things that you can do that are, you know, if it's what's going to help with coaching, because, you know, I you seem to be the kind of guy you're going to be on a baseball field the rest of your life.
Yeah. So that's something that I love baseball and I don't think I could get out of it. So there's definitely going to be some coaching in my future career.
Yeah. So figure out what is going to be the best thing to help study to make that happen. And let's just do that. Cause I don't think you're going to ever be, we're not going to find F more than 20 feet from a baseball field the rest of his life. I think.
Well, you have some great examples of that right now on the coach staff. I mean, you know, Bryce Jones was your teammate last year. Now he's on the team. You got Brandon Pond who just recently did that. I mean, there's a pathway there if you want to go that route, but
yep.
I think you've got a few more years of playing after your ODU days.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Awesome. CB, anything else for F?
No, but you know, F, we're excited for you, man. We're excited to see you back healthy. I mean, that's, you know, you saw this weekend how dynamically just you being around changed the lineup. You know, how are you feeling? I mean, we know obviously the team is not where you wanted to be. How are you guys feeling after this weekend going into, you know, pretty much the second half of the year here?
I mean, I think that we're very, very hopeful. I mean, we showed that we can hang around the big boys. Like, I mean, and we're not, and we're just as equally as them. We just haven't showed it yet. And that's what I feel. And I feel like if we can bring that energy that we had, I mean, how electric were the fans? I mean, man. The fans, I could hear you guys. Like, I mean, it was, I think we're going to be good. I mean, we definitely showed something there.
Yeah, we were talking to Finney about this. You know, you feel like you've had a bad season. You haven't won a lot of conference games. Come out of this with some confidence, and you go and look at the standings. The difference between two and the very bottom of the standings is three games. So you're talking two good weekends, and all of a sudden you're right where you wanted to be all along. So exactly. I imagine the guys are feeling that, right?
Yep. We're all feeling it.
That's awesome. Well, F, we appreciate you hopping on here with us. You know, got another busy week coming up with four games on the road. We'll be watching and rooting you on. But thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, F. Appreciate you, man. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah, appreciate it, buddy. What a good kid. I am such a huge fan of that guy. Like, that is like, if you could clone him and just have a baseball team full of him. Man, you would win some games because you would be. I mean, we talk all the time about like what you want to see in a hitter, right? You want to see that guy who like refuses to not get on base, and that's his whole approach. It's just he's going to compete and he's going to win and he's going to. It's one of those where it's like not like I'm going to do it my way. It's I'm going to do it the way that it takes to get on base, and that's my way. And it's just really fun to watch.
Yeah, and he's one of those guys like Zach, when he gets in the box, something cool is probably going to happen.
Yeah.
Like you feel it, whether even if it's simple as walk, hit by a pitch, but he just brings that energy to the plate. That kind of builds confidence, I feel like, even further down the lineup. But if you look at 1-4, like even right now at the way they're hitting, I mean, TJ, F, Zach, Tyler's Dallas. I mean, that's a pretty potent 1-4, no matter who you are in the league. I mean, that's a.
Well, and then you're coming right after it. Maverick and Mac Dye. And then you know, if you got Scotty hitting seven and Will Johnson had a great Will Johnson's been hitting. So I mean, you really, you know, you start again, like if you take this as a proof of concept, which that's what I would call these last two games of this weekend. This was, you know, that when the belief we've been having every week where we're sitting on here and you know it's a 1-3 week, but we're still sitting here like, hey, this is what this team can do. And that's what we saw this two games against Southern Miss. I think it's a cool thing about baseball too, is, you know, I don't believe ODU football has ever beaten a ranked team. I don't think we've even played that many.
We beat Virginia Tech many years ago with Blake LaRussa. They were ranked.
When they were ranked. Time. Okay. It's awesome. Yeah. Okay, good.
That's one.
Okay. So so it happened one time. Okay. That's awesome. I didn't realize that. So one, basketball, it's been a while, I want to say, since we beat a ranked team. We didn't play that. Again, don't even play that many. But that's one of the things. In baseball, pretty much every year we have at least a few games where we beat ranked teams. And we've recently been ranked. You know, it wasn't that many years ago. We've been ranked in the top 25. So I think it's one of those things that I think is just – it is a big deal. I mean, it happens – in some of our other sports have it happen too. But it's, you know, beating a top 25 team, a top 10 team – you know, I mean, obviously they play so many more games, they get more chances, but it's a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, so their roster is loaded. They're really, really good. Yeah. I mean, we watched them all this weekend. They got a bunch of dudes that can hit. They have a bunch of those pesky guys that you just can't get out. I mean, even their 9-hole hitter, I think he had a 12 pitch at bat before he finally walked. Just tough. But I think, you know, coming away from this weekend, guys have a little more confidence. They're feeling good, but that momentum has to continue. Mm-hmm. They have to kind of look at the way they played the last two games as that should be our baseline, and we have the ability to get better from there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're going to go up to William & Mary. They just beat you a couple of weeks ago. They beat us up there last year. I think winning that game, even though it's a meaningless non-conference game, I think would help push that momentum in the right direction. If it's 7-1 in the fourth inning and we're losing, what are you going to carry on to Marshall?
Right.
But I feel like if you can at least, you know, be in that, even the one run loss, something, just be competitive in that game where you can keep that momentum rolling, because we really do need to go get 2 out of 3 from Marshall.
And we should beat, well, we should have beat William & Mary last time. We should beat, I think they lost 8 of the last 9 since they, or 6 of the last 7 since they played us. Like they're on, I think they've lost 6 of the last 7 and Marshall has lost 8 of the last 9. So, I mean, these are two teams that are down and we need to let them stay down. We need to take our momentum and swing it. Like you just made a great point, like make that the baseline and go out and do what you can do and beat these teams who let their woes continue and let our fortunes change.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we saw Friday, Saturday is what you and I, it's like what you saw in the fall, what I've seen, what the expectation was. Maybe it just took us a little while to get there. Like maybe that's what it is. And they start rolling now. It's not a bad time to get going because you take 2 out of 3 the next 2 weekends and all of a sudden you're in the top 6 of the Sun Belt, which just tells you how tough the friggin' Sun Belt is right now.
You got 6 conference weekends left. Like, and to be real, I mean, nobody wants to be 15-15 at the end. It doesn't look as pretty, but 15-15 probably gets you in that top 6. So if you win 5 of your last 6 weekends, all of a sudden you're at 15-15, right? I mean, it's again, not the most ideal way. You'd rather win, you know, 25 games, your conference will look great, but you know, hey, not going to happen where we are. It's mathematically impossible.
Coastal's just going to be a buzzsaw this year. I have a 50-1 ticket on them to win the College World Series, and I'm pretty glad I got it then, because I don't think you're getting those odds nowadays.
Well, they better enjoy it. Their coach is probably gonna leave at the end of the year.
What is it, South Carolina is already trying to make some plays there?
Probably right. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't I? I've got way more money. We've got, you know, we have this tradition and facilities. Why wouldn't we take your coach? So
there's a lot to like at South Carolina.
But there
if you had to ask me who's more likely to win a national title in the next 5 years, it's Coastal by a mile.
But again, we know, like, as we all know, with the NIL, and you've got the built-in ACC, or SEC.
Yeah, they're SEC.
Well, you're in the SEC, you're already like built. So I mean, I don't know. I don't want to take up my, you know, he'll do whatever he wants to do with his job, I'm sure.
Yeah.
It won't hurt my feelings, because I don't really care for Coastal. I was telling the Southern Miss players we were leaving on Saturday, I said, hey, you know, at the end, I hope if you guys are there, you beat Coastal, because I'd much rather see you guys win, because I like Southern Miss.
Also, how does Southern Miss and Coastal not play each other this season? How the hell does that happen?
You know, it's those weird, you know, East-West, and, you know, there's too many teams, and just kind of how it works, I guess. It's you can't have you would think you would have, you know, which teams have been traditionally better year to year. You should play them each year and help everybody in your RPI and all that stuff. But, you know, it's just, we know the Sun Belt scheduling has not been ideal for many of the sports.
No,
I'm amazed we get JMU last. We have that like rivalry in JMU and Coastal toward the end, the last few years. And it must have been an accident.
Well, it's because they screw us on it in football and basketball, where football we play, I think, like the second or third conference weekend. Right. And then basketball we play over break, nothing says rivalry like no students in attendance.
It was amazing. Yeah, the difference between like this year, the JMU game at home with like, you know, a third of the place full, and last year when it was like packed to the gills and no one could get in. It was amazing atmosphere, even though we got whipped. It's a shame.
Yeah. Well, we think we should pivot here real quick and talk about the players of the week. You just got to meet one. Spoiler.
You did. Efren Morales. Spoiler alert. It was one of those, you know, Gary and I were walking out there on Saturday, and, you know, you kind of always like have your impression in your head of who it is. And it's like, well, let's see what the stats really say. And I think we both were like, yeah, probably Efren. He was 7 for 14, 4 RBIs, 4 walks, 3 runs scored. So, I mean, that's a pretty great. We hit 500, have a 611 on base. You're doing pretty great.
Pretty solid.
Yeah. Tyler Zadalas had a nice week also. He was 6 for 13, had that big 3-run double, had a homer. So 5 total RBIs, 2 walks, hit by pitch, scored a couple runs. Will Johnson, he was 4 for 11, 3 RBIs, 2 walks, hit by pitch, couple of runs scored. Scotty Young didn't have a ton. I think one game he didn't play him, but he's 3 for 7, a double, RBI, walk, hit by pitch, 2 runs. And Mac Dye, not the most overwhelming numbers, but 4 out of 16 with a homer, RBI, 3 runs scored. So still solid week. Yeah, go for it. If you had
Max home runs, obviously like a big impact and big on the game flow. Zach hits a home run. That's a big one. And then of course, Tyler with probably the biggest hit of the weekend. But I mean, Efren being back in the lineup all three games, I mean, that's 7 extra hits. That's 11 more times someone was on base just in 3 games.
Well, he played that was including the UVA game. Yes, including that game too, hitting a walk in that game too. So he was productive all week, which is that's another factor. You're getting hits in all 4 games. You know, hey, you're doing it. He really does just add another spot, another spark to the lineup. It's really great to see. And JJ Gaddy, I believe he won last week also. I think this is
he did 2 weeks second in a row for him.
3 weeks on the year. And you know, really just because we had 5 innings, 3 runs, 4 hits, a walk, 4 strikeouts. Didn't get the win, but we did win that game. And you know, that's just what you needed. We haven't had our start. We know one of the big problems we've had is our pitching. Starting pitching has been pretty bad for most of the season. So him having back-to-back weekends where he's been pretty solid. I mean, again, nothing amazing there, but we didn't need amazing. You give me five innings, 3 runs every game in college, man, we're cooking with gas, right? Yeah. We're doing something all right. So that was big. And Jackson Okonkwo, we mentioned him too. Again, I think if we'd have won that game, maybe we might have put him over the edge. Not his fault, but he got hit a little bit more. He's 4 innings, gave up 2 runs, 6 hits, no walks, which is nice, and 2 strikeouts. So he did really well. Ben Tanton, again, you know, he's on the stretch. He's been just pitching great as a freshman. 1 2/3 innings, no runs, 2 hits, a walk, a strikeout. And Maddox Jack had another great appearance. 1 1/3, no runs, no hits, no walks, and a strikeout. I mean, he looked really dominant in that appearance. So that's it's nice to see, you know, some of our guys moving in the right direction, especially some of the young guys.
This was one of the first weekend series we've had where there wasn't a massive amount of pressure on the bullpen right off the bat. Because Cusky, even though he got hit around a little bit, he did dial back in. I think he ended up with over 90 pitches. He got us 5. Gaddy gets us 5. We pitch a little backwards in the final game of the series. Like Sulpizio is always going to go through the lineup just once. But then to get Jackson to give you 4. So basically from your starters, you got 5, 5, and 4. We've had weekends where we can't get 2, 2, and 2. So
yeah, we had at least 2 weekends, I think, where we didn't get 2 out of any of our starters.
Yeah. So we were able to, you know, bring Bailey into that game to hold on to the lead. You know, it stinks that we had to go to Kellen in the second game of the series and then had to go back to him again. I mean, that kid just pitches his guts out every time he's up there.
It does make you wonder if because he had to keep throwing more pitches because of the error. Did that lead to being a little less effective in the game on Sunday? And then you can't quite hold the lead through the 9th, you know, through the 8th, I think it was a game. So it's, that's the kind of stuff where it's like, man, if this happened, you know, it's that snowball effect that you think of where this mistake didn't just affect this game. It affected the other games, which, you know, again, that's just, sometimes it's just baseball, but it's still when you're in the midst of a season where things have not gone how you want, it's frustrating.
Yeah, but we had some fresher arms because those guys were able to go in there and have effective longer outings. You know, I don't know what the long-term plan is for game 3 of the weekend series, if it's going to keep kind of being that opener with Sulpizio. Like, I thought he threw really well. He gave up the one solo shot to left. He had one other little dink and dunk hit, but that, I mean, going through Southern Miss's order to only give that up is pretty solid. Yeah. The radar gun is back working on the scoreboard too, so we got to see Jackson Okonkwo. I think the highest I saw was 94, but I could have missed something that was bigger than that. But that kid can throw. He's got a future ahead of him if he dials a couple things in.
Yeah, I think – and I was there Friday when Cavalcante came in the game, and he – I think he hit 95, but that was one where I think the gun was kind of messing up. They had that issue with the lineup that kind of messed things up for a while, and I think it affected that later. But – it was one where it's like one pitch, a couple pitches before was 92, and then he threw one, and everybody's like, "Ooh!" It's like, So it's nice. It is nice. You know, I don't think you necessarily have to have a game with a gun. It's cool. You know, most guys are just throwing like 92, 93, whatever. Anyway, it's not that, you know, we don't have like a Noah Dean that's out there throwing 98. No. Although Cusky can hump it up there when he really wants to. Hunter Baines is hurt right now. He's a guy that's throwing 98, 99. But it is cool. Seeing a couple of freshmen. I mean, you see guys like Cavalcante and Okonkwo, especially with Okonkwo having all the success he's having. They're huge kids. They're built like horses. Yeah. They're built like pitchers. Throwing in the mid-90s as freshmen, it's like, man, this is – I mean, like Finney was kind of saying, if you think about that 18 team that had all the young guys getting a lot of innings that led to then, a few years later, a really dominant 21 team, it's like, man, you could see some stuff happen in a few years with these guys, really have a special team.
It'll be a little different than coming off of last season where we lose all three starters and none of us can identify who could possibly fill in that role. Now you're going to have guys already there that you know, like, all right, we don't know who's going to land where, but one or two of them's going to start. Then you have the portal. Then you have other guys coming in. So I think we're building for better success in the future.
I mean, Finney just told us Finney just told us we got a left-handed shortstop coming in, right? So that's, you know, me right there. It's somebody else coming in that can – you know, push for a spot, whether, and, you know, and we all know shortstops, even in college, as a JUCO, it doesn't mean he's a shortstop here. It doesn't mean he's not a shortstop here. It just means, you know, what it means is he's probably a talented infielder. We'll have to figure out who that guy is and find out about him a little more and follow him through the year here. But yeah, I mean, I think a couple of years ago, we brought in like five shortstops and like two of them, one of them ended up playing shortstop and they were all over the field because that's just what, everybody's a shortstop. You look at the big leagues, everybody's a shortstop at one point.
Well, we just talked to a former catcher who's now an outfielder / second baseman DH. I mean, we'll plug and play. Kids want to play, so they're going to go in where they can go in.
Tyler's a Dallas high school shortstop, ends up at third base, then back in the outfield, now back at third base. And like I said, he had that one play. He was way deep in the hole, pretty much at shortstop, but almost made a great play. I mean, it's just –
He moved so quickly to it, I thought it was Will for a second, and then I saw.
Because I was like, I was by you,
And it was, I mean, it just a quarter of a step late. I mean, but to even just get to the ball was unbelievable.
Yeah. It was one of those where, like, it had been an amazing play for whoever had made it. It wasn't his fault at all.
No, I mean, it was phenomenal. But I remember it wasn't that many episodes this podcast ago. Finney was on here talking about, we're just giving outfield balls to Zdalas. We're letting Zdalas get comfy in the outfield. And then, boom, look, he's back starting a third.
And that was one that, you know, I think we had never brought it up on the podcast because we just wanted to trust Finney on that. But I think we had probably been like, man, you know, if you get Zdalas at third base, you can really turn some things around this lineup and put some guys in some other spots. And, well, lo and behold, glad he, you know, you like seeing it because I think it, but almost you wonder, is that just what Tyler needed? You know, did he, because he kind of needed to reset himself as a player and go to the outfield, just worry about that, just worry about hitting, get himself on track. And maybe now that he's more confident in that than the hitting, he's a great fielder. He really is a good fielder. So it's not one of those things where he's never really been bad at third base. He just, you know, I think of the hitting, it was just too many things to worry about. And so maybe if you take that away, focus on something else.
Yeah. There's also something about you feel more comfortable at the plate because you're seeing pitches closer when you're playing an infield position. Something about that with timing. I could be completely wrong. I don't think I've played infield since I was like in diapers. So they stuck me in the outfield and I just kind of stayed out there.
Yeah.
But it is funny how just things change and what you got to do. And also guys get hot and cool off and sometimes they cool off for too long. And that, that's kind of why Tyler is there. But there's still opportunities. You saw a ton of guys get into the game, especially season. Over those last two. And, you know, like Bennett Siegel can come in and do something. Cole McKinnon can come and do something. I mean, Grayson Spahr has been great to come in there and play quite a bit this weekend.
He's played really good outfield. That's one of the things that I think it's so hard to notice and appreciate, especially if you're – I think from that angle that people have to sit in the outfield and then sometimes the angles you have to see on TV – but Grayson has been really good in right field. He's made some plays that are extremely hard. Some like looking right in the sun where he's been able to block his eyes in the right way. Some where he's set himself up well. I make sure to try to tell him every single time if they're coming into the dugout, if I'm there, it's like, hey man, that was great. Like it's hard to appreciate just catching the ball sometimes. Cause sometimes that's all he's doing. He's just catching, but it's like, that wasn't easy. Like, so it's, you got to appreciate that sometimes just catching the ball is playing great.
Especially with the way the wind was cranking over the weekend at the Bud. I mean, there were some fly balls that I thought were, you know, medium depth center field that Nick is almost touching the wall going back and catching. It was wild. And I'll fully admit, I think it was before the third game of the series, I said, I don't know if I like Nick in center and TJ in left. I feel like they're better the other way. Then Nick goes out and makes like two highlight reel plays in center field. I'm like, well, that's why I'm not coaching this team.
Yeah. No, I think the reason is TJ is better in center than he is in left or right. And that's kind of what our, your thought was, but at a certain point it's like, well, you know what? I think Nick might be better in center than TJ is not as good in left or whatever, you know, whatever the math on that equation is that they're, but the reality is when you throw it out there, if you have those two and then Scotty or Grayson Spar out there and right, that's a pretty great outfield. That's a lot of ground that's getting covered. A lot of balls that are not going to drop. And we saw that.
And we'll need that defense to just stay strong. I mean, overall, the defense improved this weekend.
Yes.
We made a lot fewer mistakes. You know, we did make a couple there at the end of that second game. Obviously. But I think we didn't dig ourselves in a giant hole because of a couple errors. We were able to stamp out some innings that could have gotten a lot worse. And I think over the last couple of weeks had gotten a lot worse where that four spot becomes an eight or a seven and you're just toast after that. But we didn't. And we kept fighting and two out hitting. I mean, I think we get 2 6-run innings against the top 10 team this weekend. I didn't think it would happen. I'll take it though.
No. And I think you probably made the best point of the whole podcast here is that you got to take this momentum and carry it. If you go and this week is you lay an egg, then it didn't matter. But if you go in this week and you really go out and keep competing and keep building on what you had this weekend, then this was something. So I, you know, again, like I said, we're doing this every week because we really like them. We really believe in them. So I really believe we're going to go out and see these guys continue to compete just like they did this weekend.
I'm right there with you. That's what I want to see. I want to be able to go back and start booking hotel rooms and all the fun stuff for Montgomery and not worrying about if I should. So, but we'll see. Going to William & Mary Tuesday, if you're listening to this, the day of, it is tonight. I got to double check the TV broadcast. I'd imagine ESPN Plus weekend, definitely ESPN Plus.
I think on the schedule, it just says on the radio. So I don't know if – I know sometimes William & Mary is on like Flow Sports, but this just has radio. So maybe when they put it out tomorrow, we'll find – or today, I guess, if you're listening to it on Tuesday. So who knows?
Either way, we'll have a home radio broadcast. I highly recommend, even if you can get the video, to listen to that broadcast while watching. It'd be much
better. Ted or Andy, whoever it is, doing a great job.
Yeah, Ted was looking good in his floral Hawaiian shirt there for the final game and the hat.
They did.
It is incredibly difficult to call a baseball game by yourself. And Ted and Andy have done that all season. Yeah. So if you get the chance to listen to them, whether it's the ESPN Plus broadcast or radio, please do so. Because you can only talk about so much stuff for 27 innings of baseball in 3 days.
Yeah. Well, especially if the games get sideways, that's when it gets really hard. When a game is intense and back and forth and great, but when the games get sideways and we've had a few of them, that's where it gets really tough to lock in and keep going.
Yeah. But shout out to those guys for letting us have at least another, you know, way to take in the game. We greatly appreciate it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Alrighty. Well, I think that's going to do it for us today. We appreciate you all tuning in. Got to run into a bunch of people, a couple Southern Miss fans over the weekend too. Hope you all had a great time. I know we got a couple good messages. Delta Dime, sorry I missed you. Good sports betting buddy. But I think they'll do it for us. Go Monarchs.
Go Monarchs.